We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah America. All right, let's check out some temperatures on this Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. Currently, looks like it's 70 degrees at Arnett, 68 at Freedom, 73 at Fairview, 69 down at Hollis, 67 at Altus. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, a little bit cooler, not much. 67 at Lipscomb, 62 at McLean, 66 at Wellington, and 71 at Odell. Man, down there Turkey, Texas, down there and just straight west to Hollis down in there, they got some major storms, major rain. I have not found anything on the news or whatever. I was doing severe weather duty last night and around Turkey and in that area right there, just basically straight west of Childress, there was tornado warnings there for like 2-3 hours. I don't know of any what the damage was. The storm chasers from Channel 9 and other stations was out there showing those tornadoes. I don't know, like I said, don't know of any damage, but they were just there. Crazy. It was a crazy evening out there. But the severe weather when it got into Oklahoma just stayed severe. No tornadoes that I know of in that area. But rainfall, southwestern Oklahoma, got some good rains. Almost an inch at Hollis, over 2 inches at Mangum. Altus even got 3/4 inch and Tipton another inch on top of what they got the day before. But Elk City, at the Mesonet here south, Elk City, they got 1/4 inch. And then at Carter, 0 inch. And Eric, same thing, basically at 1/100 inch. So anyway, Roger Mills County, Custer, Dewey, Arnett, or Ellis, no bueno. Anyway, we need a rain. It's doing a split here. That's not a good sign. Anyway, we got cotton planting coming up, peanut planting coming up. Looks like the Jackson County and Harmon, all them guys, you're going to have good moisture for your cotton planting. So that looks great. And but the central western Oklahoma, we're needing some rain showers in a bad way. I checked the moisture where I'm going to be putting my peanuts at yesterday. I'm dry 4 inches down, and then I have good moisture. I mean, moisture, when you pick it up, it'll stick together. So anyway, hopefully we got lots of good chances of rain the next 2-3 days through the weekend. Severe weather also, but hopefully we get some rain. We need some rain. We need something to go our way, period. And so anyway, like I said, no tornadoes in Oklahoma yesterday, but the rainfall for our agriculture people got their hay rained on probably. And then a lot of people got some, there's a lot of hay being put up, rolled up, man. Everywhere you go, there's, I don't know if it was put up right. Anyway, it was a lot of rain going on. Busy, busy time of the year. Wheat's headed out. Things will be turning. If anybody's listening down there in Harmon County or Jackson County, give me a shout out on the text line, 225-9697, what stage your wheat crop's in down there. I don't know how far away you are from harvest, probably 2-3 weeks. I guess it depends on temperatures too. Looks like it's going to warm back up next week and have some drying weather. So anyway, see what's going on. All right, let's see what happened overnight in our agricultural world. Grain and soybean futures surged in overnight trading amid adverse weather in several growing areas and on technical buying. Dry weather in the U.S. Southern Plains has led to the old deterioration of crop conditions. About 49% of the winter wheat crop in the U.S. was rated good or excellent at the start of the week, down a percentage point from last week, according to the Ag Department. 30% of the crop was headed as of Sunday, up from 17% a week earlier. Still, only 28% earned top ratings and 21% was headed during the same week last year. Little or no rain has fallen in much of the southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, where hard red winter wheat is growing, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page. In Brazil, meanwhile, the condition of the second corn crop worsened, according to the state agency. Dry weather has curbed production of the crop in South American country. Wheat futures for July delivery jumped 11 and 3/4 cents to 6.11 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and Kansas City futures at 11 cents to 6.36 a bushel. Corn futures surged 5 cents to 4.55 and 3/4 a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery gained 11 cents to 11.81 and a quarter a bushel. Soy meal was added 4.60 a short ton to 3.50 360, and soy oil rose 0.19 pennies to 43.45 cents a pound. Pasteurization of dairy products inactivates the bird flu virus, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, said after testing an additional hundreds of retail dairy samples. Additional tests were done by dairy products, including on dairy products, including cottage cheese, sour cream, and fluid milk, according to the FDA in a report it put out yesterday. In addition to preliminary results released last week, an initial set of 96 retail milk supply samples. These results reaffirmed our assessment that commercial milk supply is very safe. Samples of the infant formula and powdered milk meant for toddlers also taken, and results from those tests were negative. The government is also testing raw milk sent to pasteurization and processing for commercial purposes, consumption of all kinds of alerts going off here. Consumption of raw milk is not advised. That's how that one farmhand out there in Texas Panhandle got pink eye, or whatever it is he got. He was drinking it straight from the cow. As this situation evolves, the FDA will continue to consider all ongoing scientific research related to the effectiveness of pasteurization for the bird flu and bovine milk. Flood warnings and wind advisories have been issued for southern and central Oklahoma, according to the National Weather Service. Heavy rain overnight has led to flooding this morning in southwestern Oklahoma's. 2 to 3 inches of precipitation have already fallen. The Deep Creek near Randlett, I guess is how you say that, Oklahoma, hit 22.5 feet yesterday, topping the flood stage of 20 feet. Strong winds are expected in central Oklahoma all day today, with gusts up to 45. Further north, thunderstorms are expected in the evening and much of central and west Illinois. Some of these storms may turn severe with hail and strong winds. So last night when I was doing weather duty in here, I seen some people from over there on New Liberty Road west of Sayre. Straight line winds hit over there and got their barn. You guys probably seen them on Channel 9 news. They were making the news. They made the state news. But anyway, over there at the pools, they got their barns, knocked down some power lines. And I was looking at the map when that happened, and they were probably 40, 50 miles from any storm. So that just shows you how crazy the weather was last night. I don't think any of their livestock was hurt, just their buildings, their home and everything, I think, is okay, according to her. So anyway, I'm glad that it only got the barns and the power poles and no damage to their home or any livestock loss or even injuring them. So Anyway, so it was pretty interesting night with the weather. Anyway, talking about weather, I posted on my personal page today, but I was looking. If you guys have never got on the Mezzanet and just checked out all the cool stuff they got on here. So if you go on there and click on climate, it'll show you. It's got local data, tornadoes, storms, drought and wildfire, outlooks, reports and summaries, all kinds of good stuff. Just click on there and stroll through there. So I found this deal in here, tornadoes by county from 1950 through 2023. And I was kind of caught off guard. I figure Harmon County was up there with the rest of us, but in Harmon County and in Harper County, not to confuse the two, and then Choctaw County over there in South Central Oklahoma, they have the less amount of tornadoes on average than any other county in Oklahoma. So Harmon County has had 33 tornadoes since 1950 up till last year. Harper County, 32. But right next to Harper County there in and below it, Ellis County and Beaver County, 78 for Ellis County, 74 tornadoes for Beaver County. Roger Mills, you got 50 tornadoes. And Beckham County, you're up there in the upper echelon of tornado counties, 74. Guerrero County has 42. Jackson County right up there with Beckham County at 75. Kiowa County, you guys, you're almost to the top. 92 tornadoes reported there. And then Tillman County, 86. Forestall County, 55, Custer, 68, and then get back up in here. I don't know my counties up here. I think this is the big county. This got to be Woods County, 70 or 54. But the big ones are Oklahoma County and the one just to the east of Oklahoma County where Shawnee is. I don't remember what county that is. 130 there, 108 there, up by Tulsa, 108, 98. Right in there. So anyway, it's pretty interesting stuff. So just get on there and check on the Oklahoma climate, and it's pretty interesting, all the stuff that you can find on there. So anyway, well, let's go ahead and take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. When we get back, I'll have an ag market update brought to you by the Lipscomb dealerships. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is proud to announce they're now offering the High Energy Liquid Livestock Feed Mix 30. This liquid protein fat supplement is for cattle on grass or hay forage and is now available at SEI Agritech for pickup or delivery. They also have half semi or semi loads available. For more information, give Ken a call at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317 or stop by the SEI Agritech location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
May the 7th, XIT Auctions is selling 160 acres of good Ouachita County grassland, including revised wind turbine production of approximately $6,536 a year. 4 miles east of Rocky, Oklahoma, to road 2240, then a quarter mile north. For information on this auction, or to talk about your auction, call auctioneer Aubrey Latham, 393-4440, or see all the details at xitauctions.com.
XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April the 22nd. 1,384 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 588 brought 264. 59 at 839 brought 244.25. 23 at 1,047 brought 225. 111 at 1,054 brought 205.50. 4 at 1076 brought 192. 124 at 1123 brought 207.75. 10 at 528 brought 259. 6 at 629 brought 254, 11 at 730 brought 226, 30 at 813 brought 213.50, 50 at 1002 brought 204, butcher cows were 69 to 129, butcher bulls brought 116 to 171, bred cows were 1900 to 2525, pairs brought 2275 to 2650. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Texas Panhandle Ag Weather Update. I picked the big city of Wellington today. Matter of fact, I have a news story that involves Wellington, a rancher from Wellington, coming up here pretty shortly. 66 degrees, humidity's 94, dew point 65, and no wind to speak of. Peak wind gust today, 33 miles an hour, and I bet that right after midnight I was watching that storm. Month to date, precipitation, 0.29 inches. Red flag, sub-freezing, no comment. 8-inch soil temperature, 70 degrees. And that is your Texas Panhandle Ag Weather Update. I got a text during the message during the break. It says, Jimmy, cattle do not get the bird flu. That's something the government did to drive the price of cattle to down. What do you guys think about that comment? True? False? Maybe? What do you guys think? Let me know. 225-9697. 580-225-9697. What do you think about this comment? Jimmy, cattle do not get the bird flu. That's something the government did to drive the price of cattle down. What do you guys think about that theory? All right, let's see what's going on with the markets right now. Here is your Lipscomb's Dealership Ag Market Update. May, corn, 449, up 6 1/4. July, 458, up 7 1/2. Soybeans for May, 1189, up 33 1/4. July, 1196, up 26 1/4. Soybean meal, May, $353.80, up $11.20 per short ton. July's $362.10, up $13.10. Soybean oil, May, $42.35, down $22. July's $43.38, up $12. What's wheat doing today? Hard red winter wheat, May, $6.25, up 2 1/2. July, $6.28, up 3. Cotton. No way, no. Keeps us going backwards. May cotton, 75.81, down 211. July, 75.56, down 95. Texas oil, June, 79.15, up 15 cents. Natural gas, June, 203, up 10. Looks like the Dow and S&P and the NASDAQ is all in the green today. Let's see what the live cattle are doing. June live cattle, 177.15, down, or not down, back up, excuse me. Hope I didn't shock anybody. up 330. August 174.32, up 322. October 177.87, up 302. Feeder cattle for May 245.17, up 375. August 256.55, up 480. September 257.15, up 455. Everybody's favorite month right now, feeder cattle, October 257.20, up 455. Lean hogs are in the red. May 92.77, down 25. June 90, it changed on me here. Where'd it go? Where my hogs go? There we go. June lean hogs 99.92, down 50. And July 103.52, down 10. Yesterday, looked like they had a really good sale at the Hobart Stockyard. Let me go to my pictures here because I saved it off Facebook. Looks like 4 to 5 weight steers were bringing up to 350, 250. 6 to 7 weight steers up to 260. 7 to 8, 250. Is that right? Yep, up to 250. And then 5 to 6 weight heifers up to 280. 6 to 7 weight heifers, 237.50 top end. 8 to 9 weight heifers, 217.50. Cows, slaughter cows, that is, up to 154. And then we got slaughter bulls, 162. Looks like the slaughter cows and bulls have kind of just stabilized last couple weeks. That's just kind of right where they've been at. And then we had some pairs bringing up to 29.50. Average on the pairs was 27.75. Pretty nice. All right, let's see here. I was had this. Where'd he go? I lost. Okay. The new drought monitor map, the U.S. drought monitor map, came out this morning. And just let you know, not a lot of red in the United States. Up there in northeastern Iowa, still a little red that's been there for quite a while, almost 6 months now going on. Southern New Mexico, some red going on there. No D4 going on anywhere in the United States that I can see except for a little spot in New Mexico. As far as Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas is concerned, the Texas Panhandle, except right up there by Follette in that area, is in really good shape. And along the Red River, all white, no mention of any drought going on. Oklahoma, western part of Oklahoma's got the D0 going on. And then right down in there around Tipton and what else is over there? Granville, anyway, it's showing a D1, but I'm going to say the last 2 days probably changed that, so, which is good. But up here in northwestern Oklahoma, as you the Oklahoma Mesonet put on their social media page this morning, it's too early for them to be doing this, but it's getting dry. It's a D1, D2 going on up there. Yes, D2 going on up there around Beaver, Slap Out, Woodward, Buffalo in that area. So anyway, the drought monitor is really overall not too shabby a shape for this time of the year for what we've been going through the last 3 years. But we don't need it. We need some rains. Hopefully we get some rains here in the next 3-4 days, because after I think Monday or Tuesday, chances of rain in the foreseeable forecast is not there. All right, the Oklahoma Farm Bureau is one of Oklahoma's largest general farm organizations, with members in all 77 counties. Represented by 77 county farm bureaus, our work and efforts span to all of agriculture as we work to ensure our state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau by going by their office in Cheyenne. Memberships are $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, discounts with various businesses, 580-497-2579, or go to okfarmbureau.org. All right, let's take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, and when we come back, we got more agriculture to talk about. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big-time savings on big-time tires during a big-time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sarah Farmers Co-op. Sarah Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sarah Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sarah Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sarah or give them a call at 928-2664.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
What are the differences from one tire to another? An X brand versus a Y brand? Are they really different?
Yes, there is differences. I mean, the quality, some of the materials is not as high grade. Bridgestone, Firestone, Michelin are all top quality.
Does that mean they last longer?
If they're cared for properly.
Okay, what is proper care for tires?
Rotating the tires every, say 10,000 miles. Running the proper air pressure, of course.
Modern cars have these sensors.
Correct.
Are the sensors reliable, or do people need to manually check the tires?
They are reliable, but if you have the tires rotated or balanced, you do need to make sure that they are still working properly after that.
So what's the best way to do that?
Physically check your tires and see if it matches what the computer says. L&R Tire, 1204 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma.
The home of Bridgestone Firestone Tires.
At L&R Tire, we'll take good care of your vehicle.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, I'm learning all kinds of cool things on this show. First of all, let's do the agriculture weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Who do we want to pick today? Let's go with Lahoma. Haven't been there in a while, I don't think. Lahoma, it's 76 degrees, dew point 60, humidity's 58, the winds are out of the west at 7 miles an hour, 10-day rain total, 2.49 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 66 degrees, and then sunset at 8:21, thunderstorms likely today, 76 for a high, 70% chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, slight chance of thunderstorms and 54, 20% chance. And same thing tomorrow, 20% slight chance of thunderstorms and 76 for high. How about that? That's your forecast for up in northwestern Oklahoma, Lahoma. Been wild. So, Hester. Never heard of it. And I hang out down there, but I've never heard of it. But I had to find it, and I found it. So, because I got a text message in here that Danny Cook and Hester got 2 3/4 inches of rain last night. So I Googled it. It's along the east side of the river, the Salt Fork, between Mangum. I guess maybe it's the back way to Blair or Martha. You guys know more about it than I do down in there. So anyway, Hester, I'll have to remember that for some weather updates. Anyway, it looks like it's kind of just a tad north and straight east of or west of Blair, headed towards the Salt Fork of the Red River. Yeah, cool deals. And then also I got a text message to remind everybody today is grease your front end loader and bail bed day. So we got all kinds of cool holidays in the agriculture world. Anyway, it is grease your front end loader and bail bed day. Well, I want to share this information with you that I got from the where I send my soil test and my leaves off, the forage test. Anyway, so I got this from her. She is the research and development manager at Regen Ag Lab there in Nebraska. So I emailed her a question yesterday about testing the leaves, my forage, on my tomato plants in my garden, in my hot tunnel. Anyway, she says tomatoes can be sampled at first bloom, early fruit set, first ripe fruit, and during harvest. How often is up to your discretion. I would personally, all kinds of things going on. I would personally sample between first bloom and early fruit set. So if any deficiencies are discovered, you can correct them prior to the end of the season. Tissue tests should be taken on the most recent mature leaves on the plant, including the leaf blade and the leaf stem. Generally, this would be the third to fifth leaf from the growing point of the plant. A good representation would be 10 to 12 leaves, because I asked her how many leaves I needed to send in so she could get. So I need 10 or 12 leaves. Avoid any leaves that are diseased or insect damaged. If you are growing different varieties, sample them separately. And that's, yes, amen to that. If you want to identify visible nutrient issues, collect a representative from the good or normal set and a representative from the poorly performing set. And also on shipping these samples, no matter whether you are use a AgriLife or OSU or whoever you use to do your forage sampling, please be sure to ship these samples in paper bags. Put the paperwork in a plastic bag so it doesn't absorb the moisture from your plants. So there you go. That's very interesting, because I'm going to send leaf samples off. I got 100 tomato plants going. I'm going to have 70 more going here in about 2 weeks. So I got a lot going on in there, and it will, I'm going to treat that garden just like it was a field of peanuts or corn or wheat or whatever. I'm going to treat it all the same. You got to treat all of this the same. So if your tomatoes, I've heard a story about some guys, he quit growing tomatoes this year because the last couple of years his tomatoes hadn't been doing very good. These forage samples and soil samples, all kinds of stuff, can tell you a lot of what's going on. And the gentleman I had on here, about a month ago, Tony Montgomery out of Arkansas, talking about his high tunnel tomato plants and stuff like that. Let me see here. So he said, I sent him a picture of what was going on inside my high tunnel. He said, "Hey, Jimmy, this looks great. As you know, I'm having to grow strawberries in my tunnels this year due to bacterial wilt disease. But as soon as the ground dries out enough, I will be planting 350 tomatoes in my garden area. I know it's going to be a battle with some of the diseases, but it is what it is." So anyway, he told me to keep up the good work. So the bacterial wilt disease is a pretty bad thing, and it's in the ground. So if you want to find out more about it, matter of fact, I might look it up and talk about it tomorrow. But Google bacterial wilt disease on tomato plants, and you'll find it's not a good deal. It takes you quite a while to get it cleared out of your deal. Another lesson for some of you vegetable farmers. So as a farmer, not necessarily a vegetable farmer, you know, you got seeds, and we always see what the my brain just went dead. When you see how many seeds, the percentage of seeds that you're going to have, germination, there we go, germination rate of your seeds are, even if you buy seed new, order it online or buy it from one of the local co-ops, whether it's sweet corn, okra, whatever, always do a pretest before planting season. And here's the reason why. So I ordered two different varieties of sweet corn for my raised beds, plastic beds that I got going in there that Brian put in for me. Anyway, first I put in two rows one Saturday, waited 4 days, put two more rows into another row of plastic. So I got side by side so they'll pollinate. There's approximately, 400 corn plants in each one of these rows. Well, my third bed, I switched varieties. Seed come from the same company, and anyway, it said on there what the germination rate was, but sometimes you need, just need to check that germination rate out yourself. So almost 99 out of 100 corn seeds come out, come up on the one first row. Same thing on the second row. I think the ants carried one of them away. But anyway, on the third row, I'm probably 6 out of 10. Even though it said 91% germination on the test. Anyway, so I would say lesson learned, because there's still some things you're going to be planting in your garden. Cantaloupes, watermelons, okra. Some people with all this warm weather has already got a lot of this going on. But anyway, do a pretest way prior before you're planting, and just all you got to do is put 10, 20, some number that you can do your math easy on in a paper towel, damp it, and have it there in the house and see how many sprout and whatever time frame, whatever seed you got going on there. I should have done that, even though I trust these came in fancy packages and had all the stuff on there. So I'm going to what's messed up about the deal is, yes, I can go back in there and put some more corn seed in those holes, but the problem of it is they're going to be pollinating at different times, and it's going to be pretty ragged looking, so I don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway, so just check out your germination rate on all of your seeds, no matter who says it says what. It doesn't take long to check out the put it in a paper towel and check it out in there, put it in a plastic, put it in a Ziploc bag, put it in there, you'll see how many seeds sprout on that deal. So anyway, lesson learned, very, very lesson learned. Here's an update from, Kansas is number one, Oklahoma's number two, and Texas, I think, is number three on hard red winter wheat. Anyway, here's a new report out for Kansas. While this year's winter wheat crop is progressing well in many states, the crop in Kansas has fallen behind, and quality is continues across the top winter wheat growing states. With 31% of the state's winter wheat crop in poor or very poor shape, Kansas currently has the worst winter wheat in the country. USDA rated Kansas winter wheat 10% very poor, 21% poor, 38% fair, 28% good, and 3% excellent the week ending April 28. Despite the recent dry weather conditions, Kansas winter wheat continues progress with 33% of the crop headed, which is well above the five-year average of 6%. This is also ahead of last year, this time of year, which just 9% of the state's winter wheat was headed. I think we just need to take the last 2 years of most of Oklahoma and Texas and Kansas winter wheat records, delete them from the records, quit worrying about it. Anyway, a weather summary compiled by the National Ag Statistics Service says there was 5.2 days suitable for field work ending April 28th. I don't know why I was reading that. So anyway, that was, I was just giving you the winter wheat update. Well, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be back, finish up the show. Got some irrigation stuff to talk about and some other things. Anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Ken Russ here at Hobart Stockyard. Folks, we are seeing cattle bring top prices right here home. We're competitive with Oklahoma City. We have proven on several occasions with the trust of local bigger cattle producers, top prices, less work, travel time, and greater returns on their cattle right here home. We have great working relationships with private independent buyers to guarantee you top prices for your cattle. We have the cleanest and best facilities to handle your cattle. Fresh water and quality hay out at all times. We do not receive chronically sick, injured, or trailer cattle. We only sell the best at Hobart Stockyard.
Hobart Stockyards at 580-726-3306.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They'd love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
This Saturday night, Slim Pickens will be live on stage at the all-new Country Palace on the east side of Elk City. He'll be playing all your favorites, plus several new songs. And with Country Palace's giant air filtration system up and going, smoking is allowed inside the club without getting it too smoky for others. Also, CP's has a full menu of great grilled food choices like burgers, mini corn dogs, street tacos, and more. Make plans to hear Western Oklahoma's number one country dance band, Slim Pickens, this Saturday night at CP's. There's a $10 cover charge to help pay for the band. Don't miss Slim Pickens on stage at Elk City's Country Palace this Saturday night. Doors open at 5, band starts around 9:30.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. Guess what? I picked Hester. How's that? I hope I'm saying that right. Hester, down there southwest or southeast of Mangum, over west of Blair. 67 degrees, dew point 65, humidity's at 91%. The winds are out of the southeast at 7. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 72 degrees. 10-day total rain, 2.62. Sunset at 8:24. Severe thunderstorms, 20% chance today, 79 for a high. Thursday night, 56 degrees for a low, 20 80% chance of severe thunderstorms, 30% chance of thunderstorms tomorrow, and 77. I think they've taken quite a bit of that rain or storm stuff out of the forecast for today all over western Oklahoma. They, according to the professionals last night, looked like we had another round coming in today, but I think the air is a little more stable. So we'll see how that goes. Also, your 6 to 10 day precipitation outlook, according to the National Weather Service, is near normal for all of Oklahoma and most of the Texas Panhandle. So just throw that out there for you so you can anticipate what's going on there. All right, let's see here. What do we have there? Groundwater. I always like talking about water. Groundwater levels in much of Nebraska continue to decline after several years of prolonged drought, according to the most recent statewide groundwater level report from the Conservation and Survey Division in the University of Nebraska, Lincoln Schools of Natural Resources. Of 4,822 wells measured statewide, 85% exhibit declines from spring of 22 to spring of 23. I'd like to see more of like the previous and what's going on now. Because if you guys in Lake up there, groundwater, the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma Panhandle, Kansas, Nebraska, and parts of Dakota's used in that deal there. They were saying that the ones up north last year in Nebraska was starting to come back up. And now they're saying it's declining, but they're not saying how much. But anyway, groundwater level changes in Nebraska are impacted by withdrawals, primarily from irrigation, and the amount of recharge from precipitation. The hotter and drier growing season is, the less water is available for aquifer to recharge, and more water is required for supplemental irrigation. Thus, groundwater levels decline. Conversely, in years of above average precipitation, more rainfall leads to greater recharge. Less pumping is required for irrigation, and groundwater levels rise. From January of 22 to January of 23, precipitation recorded at all 189 reporting stations in Nebraska was less than the 30-year normal. Below average precipitation and an increased need for irrigation led to groundwater level declines of more than 20 feet at some locations. Moreover, because drought conditions have persisted across the state since the mid-2020, groundwater levels have declined significantly in the last 3 years. On average, water depth in Nebraska wells have declined by 3.15 feet. Since 2020, early reports for 24 suggest this trend will continue in at least the eastern third of the state, not the western third of the state. Despite recent groundwater level declines, Nebraska has significantly more groundwater resources than other states. It's set on top of the critical High Plains aquifer system. It also has the nation's leading system of groundwater management by virtue of its 23 natural resources districts, and groundwater use is regulated through regional management plans. In certain areas of the state, however, recent and long-term groundwater level declines are concerning. Some wells may eventually go dry or need to be drilled deeper to maintain groundwater availability. Long-term change maps in the report still depict the abundance of groundwater in the state. Local changes in groundwater levels for pre-development times before the widespread use of groundwater for irrigation range from increases of more than 120 feet to declines of about 130 feet. Groundwater levels in most of the Nebraska have experienced a net change of less than 20 feet since pre-development times. Parts of Chase, Perkins, Dundee, and Box Butte counties, in contrast, have experienced major declines in groundwater levels due to a combination of factors. Irrigation wells are notably dense in these counties. Annual precipitation is comparably low, and there's little or no surface water recharged by groundwater there. So, see, it wasn't caused by irrigation. There you go. Got you. Just want to fill you in on that. We did one on Kansas last month. The USDA announced it's working on 3 separate beef safety studies related to the bird flu and dairy cattle. I know you guys are going to get sick of this, but it's what's in the news right now and it affects us all. Anyway, we've been talking about testing milk and all this. Now they're going to test some beef. The first study will involve sampling of ground beef at retail outlets in the states in which dairy cow herds have tested positive for the bird flu. The samples will be analyzed by the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service using a polymerase chain reaction. I hope I said that wrong, but it's close. It's got something to do with poly, which indicates whether any viral particles are present. Beef muscle samplings of all cull dairy cows condemned at Select Food Safety and Inspection Service inspected slaughter facilities will be examined in the second study. And let's see, for both retail and at slaughter samples, any PCR positive will be evaluated for live virus by the Ag Research Service. And then finally, we got the ARS will be conducting a beef cooking study where they will be using a virus surrogate in ground beef and cooking it at different temperatures to determine log reduction of the virus, according to a FSIS spokesperson. Results from these studies are forthcoming and information will be shared as it becomes available. However, the USDA is confident that the meat supply is safe. The USDA has a rigorous meat inspection process where USDA's Food Safety Inspection Service veterinarians are present at all federal livestock slaughter facilities. They inspect each animal before slaughter, and all cattle carcasses must pass inspection after slaughter. There you go. They're working on it. All right. One more thing before the end of the show. Farm loan. I seen this on the beef email today. Farm loan programs can be used for climate smart ag practices. Don't be burning up the FSA today after I get through with this. I'm just relaying this on there and you can slowly check it out. So only blowing their phones up today. The USDA's Farm Service Agency reminds ag producers that farm loan programs can be used to support a variety of climate-smart ag practices, which build on many practices that farmers and ranchers already use, like cover crops, nutrient management, and conservation tillage. Farmers and ranchers are already doing their part to be stewards of our land. Hell, you great stewards of the land. But some lack the financial resources to take their efforts to the next level, said FSA Administrator Zach Duchenox. Anyway, me and German words don't get along. A lot of words I don't get along with. USDA's Farm Service Agency offers a variety of loans that can help those who want to explore opportunities in their operations to make them more efficient and make a positive impact on our environment. Climate smart agriculture products generate significant environmental benefits by capture and sequestering carbon. Why did I know that wasn't going to be? I knew that was going to be in here somewhere. Improving water management, restoring soil health, and more. Farm loan funding complements other tools to help producers adopt climate smart practices, such as FSA's Conservation Reserve Program, crop insurance options that support conservation, and conservation programs offered by the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. FSA offers multiple types of loans to help farmers and ranchers start, expand, or maintain a family agriculture operations. So here's some of these farm loans that you can check into, not today or tomorrow, next week. How's that? Precision agriculture equipment. Eligible producers can use a term operating loan to purchase equipment like GPS globes, monitors, or strip-till fertilization equipment. Cover crops. Eligible producers can use an annual operating loan for seed costs. No or reduced tilled. Eligible producers can use a term operating loan to purchase equipment. Livestock facility air scrubber or waste treatment. Eligible producers can use a farm ownership loan for capital improvement to their livestock facilities. cross fencing. Eligible producers can use an annual or term operating loan to purchase fencing and or installation equipment. There's a multitude of ways of loans that can be used to support climate smart practices, he said. In some cases, they may even result in lower input costs, higher yields, and a positive impact to the producer's bottom dollar. And there we go. How about that? This climate smart deal is okay. So the climate smart deal, I'm not crazy about this carbon capture deal, but it's just a way for to move money around. But anyway, if they would do away with all this emissions crap, we'd have all the carbon in the world we need around here. You ever thought about that? Anyway, hey, the music's playing. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. It is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.